happened that I want to show you guys quickly. And I felt it's something that I'm going to use the word address, but it's something that I feel is just general people skills that would be really cool for people to learn. And I think it's something that if you guys can catch, it'll help you for the rest of your life. So I'm going to ask James if you'd like to come and stand up here when you are free. A simple example is when you have an issue with someone or you are annoyed with someone. An example, I work with James. There's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of things around us. Examples, I could be tired. I could be annoyed at home. I could have forgot my lunch. Whatever that would make me annoyed, and James could do something and I could get frustrated with him. And I could get annoyed with him. And do you have a good example? Is your mic on there, Brew? It'd be cool if we have both mics.
One, two, three, four.
So, average day during the week. I'm annoyed with James. What's the situation there, James?
Okay, well, you are working on the new church website, and it is...
Still, for months.
No
I'm
comments,
so lazy.
No comment from the peanut gallery. And you are still working on the church website, and I have an urgent document which I need to put together for the cell leaders by 11 o'clock, and it's 10 o'clock. But you have to get the website done by the end of the day, and you need my help with something. And so you come to me, and you knock on my door, and you say, James, please, I just need your help very quickly. And I'm like, sorry, bro, not now. I'm in the middle of something, not now. And then you're like, dude, this sucks. I'm never going to get any work done if James carries on like this.
Okay. Can I change that?
Yes, if you want. I tried to come up with
it. No, it was very good.
See, it doesn't happen very often.
Really. No, it doesn't. We just have like glory, supernatural flow.
Yeah, sure.
James comes to me with the document at 10 o'clock, and he says, Andrew, I need you to do this in an hour. And I say, but I've got a million and other things to do. Okay. You always do this to me, and you always give me stuff at last minute. Now, that could be that issue, and it is something that does come up. And I'm being honest here. Like, I'm not tuning James. People get stuff at last minute, and you'll find that you have a project or assignment at last minute, and that manipulates the way you act. So... option A, I think the way that everyone in normal society will react is to try to show James that he has a problem. I'll throw out comments. So I'll say, when James tells me that, I'll probably grunt and I'll be like, oh, Brew, you always do this to me. And this, like, you can't keep doing this to me. And I'll say that whether or not he's listening, and there's no eye contact, there's no communication, there's no intention. I'm just blabbing it off. And then I'll probably go and moan to someone else in the office. I'll go say, hey, Roxanne, James always gives me things at last minute. And if Roxanne has a problem with James, she'll say, yeah, James always does that to me all the time. And we use these massive words that just generalize stuff. Now, to show you something that's, I believe, the godly way to solve conflict is when James always throws things at last minute on me and I have an issue with him, it's really simple. I go and I talk to James about the problem. And the main goal is to not solve the problem, but get to build on the relationship that I have with James. So I'll take him out for lunch, and I'll just say, hey, bro, how you been? How's your week been? And if we forget to talk about the problem, I think then you've achieved what you wanted to do. So to tell you guys, and if you can catch that, when you have a problem with someone, don't moan and complain and throw hints and comments. Actually, just go talk to the person.
Very good.
Like, that alone will make you stop being scared of... Like, you know, there's always that one person you're always scared of because you're too scared to say to them, hey, bro, when you do this, it really hurts me. And we're too scared to be honest and challenge stuff, and we let that be bigger than our relationships. So in saying that, James, I honor you, bro, and I love working with you, and we have lots of conflict, and it teaches me a lot of stuff, and... not bad conflict, but it's just stuff that I got to work through myself, and like we're growing together, and James has an amazing message this evening for you guys. Last little bit of admin stuff. We're having workshops in 3 weeks. If you feel on your heart that you have something you want to minister to the youth in a small group, please come and chat to me or Jess afterwards. Cool.
January. Awesome, bro. Thanks so much, Andrew. Wow. Let's just give Andrew a hand for being such a legend. Hope you guys got that, because what Andrew shared there is something that is very important for us as young people. Can everybody see this? The church gets a revelation of the grace of God, and we start preaching the grace of God, and we start preaching how gracious God is and how much He loves us unconditionally, and how much the law has been completely eradicated and doesn't apply to the believer at all. We are children. We've been brought in, and by the grace of God, we live, we move, and we have our being. We get taught this message of grace, but we never got taught this. And so grace comes, and we just think that all we think grace is a door out. That's all we think it is. We think grace is just go out the prison and do what you want. We don't need to have church. We don't need rules. We don't need anything. And do you know what? You're right. But if you get that picture of grace, the grace of God, if you get that picture as a simple understanding and theology, thank you, Reuben, so much. If you get that revelation as just a simple subject, you go, whoa, I'm free and it's cool. But you never get family. You will never be able to push past the conflicts that happen in every family. Jesus had a conflict with God the Father. But that you just said they think the same, James. I know. But my brother, you know, I am privileged. I believe, you know, God's called me to many things. Thank Him. I thank Him every day for it. God's called me to many things. But one of the things God has called me to is to preach this. I know it. Because He placed me in an amazing family. And you may say, James, but that's unfair. You have been placed in an amazing family, and I haven't. I've been placed in a crappy family. And now, how am I supposed to be like you? By the grace of God in me, declaring the truth of what should be, you will get a revelation. And just like my father had a bad family, he did his best, you will do your best, and you will create a whole new family which is going to perpetuate until we see heaven come to earth. And I was really blessed to have an amazing, amazing family. And we really do. I mean, we've got a lot of problems. We really do. Our family, you know, we're not perfect. But my brother and I are very close. Just naturally, it's just cool. And we know what each other are thinking often, but we have our disagreements. We had many disagreements. And the problem with church structure, fusion as well. Fusion is a structure. You can't deny it. Family is a structure. You know, we know what we got a revelation of grace, and we got so scared of the word structure that we don't want to call it structure. It is structure, because family structure, it's just a beautiful structure. That plant is beautiful. Biologists would love to study that plant, but it's just a plant. But the structure of it is stunning. It's beautiful. And an organic family built structure is a beautiful structure. And what happens is everything okay? It's good. Okay. Heidi, you did an awesome job tonight. That really was incredible. Well done. Brenna, well done. Mark, well done, guys. Jace, Jason. That really was, that was just, there's very few adjectives that I could use, but it was just amazing. Well done. That was serious fusion worship stuff. Okay, don't worry about Heidi and Jen. Let's keep moving, okay? Let's stay focused here. All right, Dad is speaking. Time to listen. Okay. So, conflict comes in these families, and we don't know how to deal with it. And let me just clarify my point that Jesus had conflict with God. Where did Jesus have conflict with God? Jesus had conflict with God in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, "Father, please, if it be your will, take this cup from me." And God said, "There is no other way, son. You have to go through this in order for all mankind to come into the family." Now, obviously we can argue that God was in Christ. He was. But it's a picture. There was a conflict in that moment. And they knew, as a family, how to work it out. It was hard. Jesus sweated physically. Blood came out of his pores. It was so hard, Jesus sweated blood out of his pores. But he went through it. He pushed through it. He submitted to something that he clearly did not want to do. Everything inside his heart wanted the results of what it would bring, but he didn't want to go through it. But he pushed through because he saw the bigger picture. And there's something that we have to understand as a family, guys, brothers and sisters. As a family, we have to understand that there will be conflicts. I am here to tell you right now, and it's amazing that Andrew brought up what he did. I didn't ask him. He didn't know that I was going to share this tonight, and I didn't know that he was going to share that. But what Andrew brought up is absolutely imperative. There is going to be conflict. We are going to face challenges. Because we have to get things done in the family. We have to get things done in the house. But I want to challenge you, find who you are as a son and a daughter. Because if you find who you are as a son and a daughter, you won't get offended when someone challenges you. Yeah. This is the key. The church around the world has very few fathers. This church has very few fathers. I know that. But there's a greater problem. Not enough people are taking up their position as sons. And the sons are blaming the top, saying there's not enough fathers. That's why we are like we are. So screw you. Why should we be sons when you're not fathers? Well, I tell you what, it takes the better man, it takes the better woman to rise up and say, despite your problems, despite what you may have done, despite your inadequacies, I'm going to be a son to you. I'm going to be a daughter to you because I see this family. I see what Jesus died for. I see what this could be. And I'm going to be a son and I'm going to be a daughter and I'm going to lay down my life for this ministry because I know what God wants to do in this ministry and through this ministry. And so my challenge to you tonight is find the son and the daughter in you. And I understand that it's very hard to be a son, to be a daughter, when you have a warped physical picture of a father. God to you is a big man with a stick waiting to clap you. You're afraid of going to heaven because he might say no. You're afraid of giving your life to Jesus because you believe if you gave your life to Jesus, you won't be able to have as much fun if you didn't accept him. Because you have a warped picture of what daddy's really like. Daddy wants you to have fun. Daddy wants this. That's the truth. This is truth. It's the truth. The grace message is truth. But so is this. You were set free from this to be part of this. a family. And you can never take your place unless you see yourself as a son or a daughter. And the Holy Spirit wants to heal some people tonight. We're going to show a video. But then Mark and Brennan, I think Heidi's gone. But just, Jace, just be ready for some ministry, just free-flowing ministry, prophetic worship. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to people tonight. He wants to heal hearts. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. Can you just get Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 to 7, please, Ryan? Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. Just look at this verse about Jesus. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 says, now we hear this at Christmas all the time. Just look at this, guys. For to us a child is born, comma, to us a son is given, comma, and the government will be on his shoulders. There are three stages of that verse. A child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. Now I want to explain this to you quickly. A child gets born, a son is given. When did Jesus get handed over? What age was Jesus when he got handed over? 30, exactly. Andrew, very good. Jesus was 30 years old when he was handed over. That was the moment Jesus was given. A child was born in eternity. Jesus had always been around, but he came in to the earth as a baby. But he became a son. Jesus himself became a son. And I want to tell you guys, there is a process of becoming a son, and girls included, there is a process of becoming a daughter. And we're probably going to carry on with this next week because I can see you're all running out of energy and focus. I know Jess has got a word, an amazing word prepared, but we'll probably carry on with this next week and just cover some other stuff. But guys, let me just share with you something very quickly. Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. How many of you know the story of the prodigal son? Who doesn't know the story of the prodigal son? Wow, that's interesting. Awesome, okay, thank you. Story of the prodigal son. There was a father, an amazing father, and there were two brothers, two kids. The father was rich. Listen up now. The father was rich, and the one son said, Dad, give me my inheritance now. He said, screw you, Dad, I don't care about you, I want my money now, I want to go have a party. He went and he spent all his money, got drunk, eventually had nothing left, came back years later, the father loved him and said, let's have a party, he was dead, now he's alive, woo, my son is back. And the other brother, who never went anywhere, said, how dare you throw a party for this stinking, filthy animal? He didn't even call him his own brother. He said, this son of yours. He didn't say my brother. He said, this son of yours has squandered all your money and you throw a party for him. What happened? The elder brother didn't see himself as a son of that father. The elder brother thought that he had worked for blessing. He didn't realize that the blessing was already there. And there are two types of people in the world. There are prodigals who ran away and they realize they need to come back to Dad. And there are elder brothers who are looking at everyone else saying, look at how bad these guys are. I've got it okay. And do you know what the difference between a prodigal who says, I need my dad's care again, and an elder brother who said, how dare you, dad? Do you know what the difference is? One realized that he was a son. The other still didn't know that he was a son. And I'll tell you right now, you know if you are, you know that you are a son or a daughter. You know that you are a son or a daughter. If you look up to people like myself, Byron, Jess, Kareen, you look up to positions of leadership in your life even. You look up to them and you see the good qualities. You see what God has done in their lives. You see what they have to offer. That's the heart of a son. How many of you know little 10-year-old kids who cruise around saying, my dad can beat your dad up. My dad's so much stronger than your dad. My dad will take your dad out. Oh yeah, well my dad, he kicked a rugby ball 50 meters. I bet you your dad can't do that. Oh yeah, well my dad, he does this. And their dads are the best. Their dads can't do anything wrong. That's a son. A son looks at their dads and they see they can't do anything wrong. They just see the good. But an elder brother who doesn't see themselves as a son in the house, an elder brother sees all that is wrong with their father, with their leaders. They say, you did this. You're throwing parties. You're wasting money. What kind of father are you? You gave him your inheritance. Are you out of your mind, dad? And all they can do is criticize their fathers. Now, I want to tell you tonight, if you sit and you criticize your father, your parents, whatever, look, I'm not condemning you. Because I understand many... please don't hear what I'm not saying. A son isn't blind to the mistakes that our parents make. Okay? A son isn't blind. They see the mistakes. But they choose to love and receive blessing in spite of the mistakes. An elder brother goes, look at this mistake. Look at that. They can't get past the mistake. They can't receive the blessing and love and care because of one mistake. Don't be like the elder brother. Be a son tonight. Be a daughter tonight.